I think it's a great idea. I think the idea that we're going to go solar, is a great idea, but I remain to be convinced that it's really practical at this point. I guess it does depend on how much energy you use, and if you have it's possible to build a house which doesn't need any energy to heat it, but I think you'd need something pretty close to that. Yes, Jonathan.
The challenge with solar is, if you have a reasonably good site, is that you have to pay for the in your investments all up front. You have zero fuel costs, so making sure that there is affordable financing, because the cost of solar is really the cost of capital. Because as long as you can get capital to low enough, which right now is very inexpensive, you can, if you spread those costs out over even half of the projected and established lifespan of those systems, it becomes very affordable. The problem is, if you're spending $11,000 or $12,000 up front, that's hard to come up with for most of us. But if you can basically get a loan at a low interest rate, that then makes it so that your energy costs drop immediately, including the servicing of the loan, then that's where you see that, oh no, actually it's very affordable even now with current technology. It's mostly the problem is you have an upfront cost instead of just filling your tank, little by little.
They're really, well, a number of issues. One thing is that the way that it works right now, if you have solar panels, is when you're not producing electricity with your solar panel, for example, at night or in bad weather, okay, you are able to get your power from the grid. And when you're producing more than you're using, you're able to sell it back into the grid, okay? So that's very favorable. But if the grid wasn't there, you'd have to store it yourself. And I heard Becky saying, oh, they're working with semiconductor batteries. Well, people are, batteries are the effective batteries are an enormously desirable thing that people are spending millions and billions on developing, okay? And it's fairly expensive. I happen to know something about this because I've had for years a sailboat that has electric auxiliary power and batteries and a solar panel, and it worked fine for me, but the amount of energy that I could store in my batteries was really, really tiny, okay, compared to what you could store in a fuel tank. That's another part of the problem is you can't practically store a very large amount of it. Go ahead, Jonathan.
Battery technology is rapidly changing, and it is a key component of a grid with to use renewables effectively. And that barrier seems to be breaking down right now. Like that price point is starting to really shift, even with the current technology and with the ones that are projected to come on very in the next very short period of time. That's looking really, really promising. And one of the things to note, which you kind of didn't quite say, is that the value of solar. There was a study done during the LePage years by the consumer advocate office looking at what is the value of solar. So, like, if your neighbor puts solar panels on their roof, and they're basically any extra production is going into the grid, and they're getting paid the same rate that they pay for it. Is that a good thing or a bad thing for the neighbors? And the value of solar was clearly much greater than what we're actually paying for that solar to go into the grid, because it reduces the infrastructure investments necessary. And there is almost no line loss, which normally when there's a production, there's a huge amount of line loss. It's going right to your neighbors. So the efficiency of the solar panel of your neighbor to help support your electrical use saves you money. It reduces the cost to all ratepayers to have your neighbors put, you should thank them if they put a solar panel on, because it's keeping your cost of electricity down. It's not driving it up. So, there's they're producing electricity at the time when the electrical costs are at the highest for the utility to be buying from electrical generators. So there, it's not, a utility doesn't pay the same price all the time. It pays it depending on demand. And so this
But
value of solar that was done during the LePage administration by a department that was not really into solar. They didn't like solar initially. They were convinced when they did this actual value of solar for ratepayers, it's very beneficial. Rooftop solar helps keep everybody's price down.
Yeah, I don't dispute that, and I think that rooftop solar, you know, makes sense. If people, you know, people have to look at it and say, is it worth it to me? How much will I save? How much will it cost me? Is it worth it? But it's certainly not hurting anybody. I mean, if you want to put solar panels over all the parks and all that stuff, I have a problem with that. But I don't have a problem with people putting solar panels on their roof. Okay, that's a good thing. However, and it is true that when at the time that you're not using it, it goes into the grid and it can be used by your neighbors and so on. That's nice. But in fact, that only is creating an extremely, a demand cycle for the utility, for CMP in our case, where on a nice sunny day, then they shut everything down. And then when it gets dark, they have to turn it all on, okay? We need them, and if we don't have them, we're in trouble because we don't have a way of storing that electricity overnight. In winter, the night is like 16 hours more long, okay? So we're at some point, it's not gonna be viable for the utility to just exist as a backup. Yes, Jonathan.
We do remember that right now we use less than 1% of our electrical generation is coming. Well, it's higher now, I think, with the recent build out. But even as of very shortly, Maine is producing less than 1% of its energy, electrical energy from solar. And mm-hmm. and remember that over 30% is produced in Germany, and they have a stable, viable, electrical delivery and grid system. So I think you're posing a problem that actually doesn't really exist, that there's this, we're producing too much solar and it's destabilizing the grid. That is not actually happening. And the technologies around storage, I think, are rapidly going to be solving what challenges are, even if we build up many times as much electrical generation as we have now from solar. So I think that's not, I think, something that is going to really hinder our society. It sounds like it could be a problem, but I think the technology we have right now is actually solving it.
Rodney.
Yes, the question I have is, and I think a lot of us like myself here, what's that transitional time? For example, like I have a propane gas furnace. I put it in 10 years ago when my oil furnace broke. And so what happens is that in terms of transition, we want to go to solar. How can I afford to go ahead with solar or another alternative energy source when I just paid a lot of money for this particular furnace? And how long do you see that you're going to be transitioning from, say, a fossil fuel economy to, say, a solar economy or a wind economy, an alternative energy economy? I think that's a lot of us want to know. Because we keep hearing, for example, like the New Green Deal, you know, if we don't have it by 2030, the world's going to fall apart. But so what's the question there?
Can I respond?
Yes, go ahead, John.
That is an excellent question, Rodney. And I think that you there's two points that I think you made that apply to the natural gas pipeline. Why would we invest and lock people into a technology and a fuel system, which you are then going to be unlikely to want to say, I'll tear this brand new, boiler out and put in heat pumps because I just put this in, I just invested in this, when that is really a dead end. And the illusion of affordable natural gas is an illusion because it spikes all over the place. And we're not anywhere near as in control, but as we are if we're actually doing local generation of electrons to heat and transport and everything else. So, and that another thing to be aware of is that there is there's a bill in Congress right now, which I think has a very good chance of passing both the House and the Senate, which would, they're calling it an accelerator. It's not, bank is a special term. You can't call something a bank if it's not very legally specific. So this is an accelerator. Maine is also working on creating the legislation to be able to receive its portion of what that proposed $100 billion investment would be. And so how much money, I'm not sure how much Maine will get. It's not you know, the ink isn't even dry, much less it's not even written all the way yet. But that would open up low cost financing. It would also has been shown to leverage a lot of private investment, 10 to 30 times as much as the initial federal funding, into creating low cost loans so that you can invest personally in the solar and get and have immediately your actual energy costs drop, because you're leveraging that initial investment over, you know, 30 years or 20 years, and yet actually your solar system is going to essentially last for 40 years or more. And so that low cost capital is the key to actually having it, so you or anyone can actually immediately do that transition. And that should also be available for businesses and municipalities.
Becky.
And just to add to that, I thought you were going to mention it, Jonathan, but also 40% of those funds are designed to be for lower income families. So just to make sure that people know that it's not just for the high end, folks. This is, you know, to really broadly engage in this kind of an economy. We really need to do this here in Maine. You know, obviously we've got one of the oldest housing stocks in the country. In fact, I think we do have the oldest housing stock in the country. And so, you know, weatherization is going to be the greatest bang for the buck. These funds will help with that. And there's another proposal as part of this, I believe, to do something like an AmeriCorps in Maine, where we would be training and hiring, young people to learn how to handle the older housing and how we can healthfully do weatherization, which is a way better investment than investing in a new technology in your building.
Well, Becky, I'm going to let you have the last word, because now it's time to.